I have a passion to preach the gospel. And when I heard about the camp over there and 50% of the kids coming out there never hearing the gospel before, I mean, I'm jealous. But at the same time, I was glad to hear that God was able to use our group. And I know that when I was over there and I would be around English-speaking people, I wouldn't speak Romanian. And it was a handicap for me, because if somebody spoke English, you're going to do whatever is the easiest to do. And if you had somebody over there that could do all your translating and do things, you might depend on somebody else. And I'm glad that God forced my wife to use her Romanian, allowed you guys to do things that were outside of your comfort zone, and just to see that he's going to work. You know, God is the one that orchestrates salvation. He orchestrates all the circumstances and every detail, and brings about people from across the world and brings you together at the same time. And, you know, only God can orchestrate something like that. He prepares the messenger and he prepares the hearer. And I was going to share some things in the book of Acts, you know, that, you know, what I like about it is that you can see the message, the messenger, the people, the response, and see how people got saved, and just actual examples of how the Lord was working in the book of Acts. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you can't hear without a preacher, and you can't preach unless you're sent. In Acts chapter 10, we see a man by the name of Cornelius, and let's go ahead and read the first four verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get moving through the message here. It says, there was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, a man of the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God and all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we saw and the slides and the testimonies, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord, that, Father, you're working and moving in people's lives and calling people to the mission field. You're arranging circumstances so that people can come out and hear the gospel, Lord God, and you're in control of every circumstance that was there, Lord. Father, you have a reason why we're here today. You have a reason for everything that's on this earth, Lord God. And I just pray, God, that you just help us to be open and willing and listening to your commands. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Now, have you heard it been said before that the only prayer that God hears is the prayer that the sinner's prayer, you know, from a sinner, is a prayer for calling on God for salvation? And yet here in Acts chapter 10, we see a devout man by the name of Cornelius. It says he was a devout man. He feared God with all his house. He gave alms to the people, which were helping poor people out and giving to their needs. And he prayed to God always. In verse 4, it says, thy prayers and thine alms are come up before God for a memorial. We see that God hears everybody. He's interested in the lost. He's interested in their life. He's interested in working in their lives. And it's not true that the only prayer that God hears is the sinner's prayer. In Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And it's not to say that Cornelius was a righteous man and somehow he didn't need salvation, he didn't need a Savior, but it is to say that he was responding to the light that God had given him. He feared God. He prayed to God. He was trying to get in touch with God. He was trying to find out about God, and God made a way for him to hear about him. He believed in God, but James 2:10 says that the devils believe and tremble. And no man can come unto God except the Father draw him nigh. See, the Father is at work all the time. If you have a desire to know more about God or to learn about God or to know about salvation, it's because God is the one that's drawing you to himself. And God was working in Cornelius' life, and he was bringing about the circumstances. He was arranging things. And as you go through the story here, you know, God's working in Peter's life, and he's having these visions and dreams, and he's working in Cornelius' life, and he's sending an angel to talk to him, and he's arranging these circumstances, and Peter's staying in somebody else's house. And he sends people to Cornelius, to Simon the Tanner's house to get Peter to come over there to tell Cornelius what's going on. And God just arranging all these circumstances. Verses 5 through 8, it says, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell you what you should do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier and waited on them continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Cornelius was responding to the light that God had given him. And he sent his servants away to go and call Peter and find out what God was going to do. In verses 9 through 20, we see that if we do our part, God will do his part and he'll send somebody. And it says, "And on the morrow, when they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and it says that he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him. And it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And then there came a voice to him saying, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean.' And the voice that spake unto him the second time says, 'What God hath cleansed, call that now that not thou unclean.' And this was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen would mean, behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood at the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, and the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" You see, if we do our part, God will do his part. Thinking about the Ethiopian eunuch, he had come all the way to Jerusalem to worship. He left there, and he was in his chariot, and he was in a desert place, and he hadn't found out about Christ. And he's sitting there reading the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 53 and talking about the Lamb of God, and God says to Philip, go and join yourself. Go to Gaza, first of all. Go to the desert place. And he leaves and he goes, and then he says, "Now I want you to go up to that chariot right there." And he goes over there, and then he hears somebody reading out of the scriptures. The key is just being obedient. See, it takes obedience on our part in seeking God and desiring his will for our lives, but then it also takes the willingness to go and do and to leave your comfort zones. Yeah, I knew that, you know, there's going to be a lot of uncomfort zones in Romania. Verse 21, it says, "And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him, and Cornelius said, 'Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report, who hath among the nation, who was warned of God by a holy angel to send unto thee, and to his house, and to hear the words of thee.' Then he called them in and lodged with them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." He was warned by God in a dream. But Cornelius was a righteous man. He was a devout man. He was a man that prayed. He was a man that fasted. He was a man that sacrificed. He gave of his sustenance, and he gave it to the poor people. And a lot of Christians don't even do that. It says God warned him. It's not enough. There's something else still missing and still lacking in your life. In John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. In verse 36, it says, for he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, it's not just enough just to be a good person, to try to do the right thing, to love God and to fear God and to try to do the best that you can. There's something that's very important, and that's why Peter had to go and talk to Cornelius, to let him know that there was something more, something else that was lacking in his life. In verse 24, it says, and on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And he had called together his family and his near friends. You know, if you got some important news to hear, you want to have your friends and family there to hear it too. He knew that God was going to share something with him, and he wanted to have the people that he knew, the people that he cared about, he wanted them to be there also. And that's a lesson to us as Christians, because many times, you know, we get saved and we get in the Christian family and we feel comfortable here, but we need to get our friends and we need to get our family involved. We need to allow them to hear the good news also. Verses 28 and 29, it says, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. And I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent me? The lesson that Peter had to learn was a lesson that all of us have to learn. It's a lesson that I had to learn in seeing how, you know, the gypsy people that were looked upon by Romanians and how they're looked down upon, how they're despised, and you know, there's their lifestyle and just the way they live. But when God cleanses a person, they're clean. And we've seen so many gypsy people come to know the Lord and their lives are changed, and the people in the village are just amazed that they're not robbing and stealing and doing all the things that they were doing before. Verse number 30, it says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting up until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Then send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon the tanner by the seaside. And when he comes, he shall speak unto you. And immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore, all we are here present before God to hear the things that are commanded thee of God. For somebody to receive the gospel, they got to be ready. And God's going to call us to go and do things, and you don't know what's going to be expected, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the circumstances that are going to be there, but you have to be willing beforehand. And here, he didn't know what Peter was going to tell him. He didn't know what Peter was going to command him, but he said, yeah, we're here. We're listening. We're ready. Whatever you say, that's what we want to do. And this was a really hard lesson from Peter. Verse 34 and 35, it says, and then Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. You know, Peter had to learn this lesson that, you know, here he was going to these Gentile people, and he wasn't even allowed to be among them. He says, you know, our law says it's an unlawful thing for a Jew, man that is a Jew, to keep company with one of another nation. And in chapter 11, verse 2, he was going to have to explain it before the church. What in the world were you doing with all these Gentile people? Why were you there? And then he explains the gospel message. Verse 36, it says, and the word God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching the peace by Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published from Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and now how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing and all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto the witnesses, chosen before of God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him and rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and of the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. See, it doesn't matter all the good works you've done, Cornelius. It doesn't matter all the things, your prayers and all these things. The thing that matters is that Jesus died for your sins. And if you'll repent and believe and trust in Christ as your personal Savior, you will have eternal life. It says that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on those that heard the word. And they that were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Hey, these people got saved just like we did. They're Gentiles. Yeah, it's not lawful for us to be around them, but they received Christ. Can you say that it's wrong for them to get baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed with him to tarry certain days. Hebrews 5, chapter 9 says that Christ is the author of eternal salvation. Chapter 12, verse 2, it says that he is author and the finisher of our faith. Do you believe that God is in control of everything? Do you believe that he orchestrates everything that happens in your life and over to the last detail, and that he has divine appointments in your life? Do you believe that he calls people to salvation? Do you believe that he calls us to take that message of salvation to others? I share with you, I wanted to go on the trip. I really wanted to go. Marla hadn't been in 7 years. I haven't been in 5 years. But I'm thankful that my wife got to go. And I'm thankful that people got to be stretched and forced to do things that maybe they would have otherwise have done. But I know that God has a plan. And I can ask the question, why am I still here? Why am I still serving here in America when my heart and my desire is to be in Romania and preaching the gospel there? And I'm talking with Ovidio all the time, and I'm hearing what's going on with the camp ministries and things like that. Well, last year, Ben heard the slides, decided that he wanted to go to Romania. He went to Romania last summer. Got involved in the work and decided, hey, I'm going to sell my house and I'm just going to go. And he's there right now serving in Romania, and he is, I'm telling you, he's not on a luxury bus. He's traveling around in these vans, and he's sleeping in the cars, and he's sleeping on the floors in the church, and he's sleeping in people's houses, and he's eating things that he never thought he would eat, and just being in situations that he wasn't expecting. Ovidio just called me yesterday and told me that he's in a village. And the pastor in that village was saved in our church in Romania. Now, that church is not functioning today. I'd given an invitation and didn't really explain a whole lot of things, and then he just started praying. And it was the most amazing salvation experience that I've ever witnessed in my life. I was so excited for him. and I knew that God was going to do great things in his life. Well, a short time after that, we had some people split away from our church, and he was very close friends with them. And he was close friends with their kids, and so, you know, when they left, he left. And I sat down and talked with him and his friend, and I said, you know, you guys are going in a different direction, but, you know, stay close to the Lord, keep following the Lord, keep your eyes on him. He got away, and I wasn't able to disciple him. I wasn't able to be with him. I wasn't able to encourage him. He went off to Bible school. He went to the college university in Bucharest and the Baptist University there. He got into a bad situation, had a child out of wedlock, was really down for a long period of time, but he repented. He got his life right, serving the Lord. He's a pastor now. And Ovidio and Ben are in his village preaching the gospel to the kids there. It broke my heart when I saw him leave the church and the things that were happening in his life. But God has all these things happening for a reason. Missions is about getting us to do things that we're uncomfortable doing. And I'm going to go ahead and move into the invitation time. If Pastor Steve would like to come up. But if you see along this whole chapter, Peter felt uncomfortable. You see so many times in the chapter, it says that Peter, first of all, he said, "Not so, Lord. Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean or common. You know, I've never let that stuff come into my mouth before." And then it says that Peter doubted. But then it also says that Peter thought on these things. And the last thing that God said to Peter, "Peter, go and don't doubt. Go and don't doubt." We don't save anybody. We don't have the power to save, but the gospel does have power to save. I believe God works in every heart, in every person, that Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. And God's drawing you to himself. The question is, are you being obedient to God's call? Because God will call you to go and to make steps in things that you have no idea what's going to happen. He won't give you the explanation beforehand, but he's asking us to step out on faith, to trust him, to believe that he will work. Maybe God's calling you to salvation. Maybe you've never made that decision. Just know, coming to church and giving an offering and doing all these things, it does not make you a Christian. You have to put your faith and trust in the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And God's called each one of us to missions. He wants us to go, and he wants us to tell. He wants us to share the good news of what God has done in your life. And you may look around, you might see people, they seem to be failures, they've fallen on their face. But don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Trust that God's going to work. And I'm just so excited to see what God's going to do in Ben's life. I'm excited to see what God's continuing to do in Ovidia's life. And Fonta, I mean, the joy in my life, I was so heartbroken when that relationship got broken away. But God has a reason. And God's at work. And he hasn't given up on you, and he hasn't given up on me. As the invitation is open, if you want to come and pray, God's been working on your heart, dealing with you with something, be obedient with him. Step out. Amen? Just step out and talk to him.